from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Temp check. What kind of summer are we having this year? A family road trip summer? A beach bum summer? Or a wake me when the sun sets summer? With Instacart, choose your own adventure and skip the shopping side quests. Where available, you can get ice cream delivered to your hotel, sunscreen to the pool, or cold brew to your bed. Well, door, in as fast as 30 minutes. Wherever you find yourself this summer, you can get the goods. Download Instacart for free delivery on your first three orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Minimum $10 per order. Excludes restaurants. Additional terms and fees apply.
To me, but all right, good afternoon, everybody. We got to address Brandon Ayuk here, and then we'll get into sharing Paul Skeens with the rest of the world. It is his big moment, starting the All-Star game, from getting drafted by the Pirates a year ago to starting the Midsummer Classic tonight, and a chance for everyone else outside of the Pirates Nation to see the great pitching phenom that is Paul Skeens. So we can't wait for that, but it is a huge day. Malzi sitting across from me. We have Donnie Football here. We even have a guest who's shadowing us today. So it's
another
a huge
Syracuse
show.
Guest.
Yep, it's a huge show. Mm-hmm. We are streaming at 937thefan.com. You can watch our video stream there. You can go to YouTube and see it there as well. We have all kinds of guests lined up. Former Pirates pitchers who pitched in All-Star games, including the last Pirates pitcher to start an All-Star game all the way back in 1975. But being that it's such an important day, we need to start things off formally here and really make sure we take a very serious start to the show.
Please stand and remove your caps for the playing of the national anthem.
All right, guys. Here we go. Please, if you don't mind, Donnie, do you hear that?
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed by the twilight's last gleaming, whose broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight, o'er the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming. And the rocket's red glare, the bombs bursting in air, gave proof through the night that our flag was still there. Oh, say does that star spangled banner yet wave o'er the land of the free?
See, all right. I couldn't go along with it. You know why? We've got an explanation.
What do you mean you couldn't go along with it?
I get secondhand embarrassment whenever I hear somebody bomb specifically the anthem that badly.
We had a much better national anthem at a hot dog eating contest.
But we have an explanation
earlier
from her
this month.
She was hammered. She's checking into rehab as of now.
Oh my God.
Ingrid Andress, I'm not going to BS y'all. I was drunk last night. I'm checking myself into a facility today to get the help I need. That was not me last night. I apologize to MLB, all the fans, and this country I love so much for that rendition. I'll let y'all know how rehab is. I hear it's super fun. XO Ingrid. So she was hammered by her own statement here. Which makes more sense than somebody who apparently is good enough to have a recording contract sounding like Carl
Lewis
mixed with Roseanne Barr.
I got to be honest. I think I sing better drunk.
No, you're more confident in the singing, but you have no idea how it sounds. I've heard people take recordings of me when I'm three sheets doing karaoke. I think I sound like Johnny Cash doing Folsom Prison
Blues. So you think
blues.
In her head she thought she was doing the best national anthem of all time?
No, I think she was blacked out drunk, probably, and probably had no idea what she was doing.
Do you think that the people who were around her thought she doesn't seem quite right, but maybe this is what she often does, perform this way?
I saw somebody say the event planner there's got to take the fall for this
right,
one.
Right, because
in part.
If she's that drunk, obviously you call
inebriated.
An audible.
Correct. You have to have like a track. Here's what I would always have.
How about her people? Like, she doesn't have an agent?
Have a track of her singing. Have her sing, like, a sound check version, presumably sober. And if you see things are going off the rails, you cut her mic and play the other one.
So record the sound check one? But what if she was already drunk then? I mean, she sounds like you're saying she's blackout drunk. I don't think in the 2 hours, because I've been inside football stadiums when they do the sound check anthem before a game. It's not doesn't happen 8 hours before.
Do people stand up for the sound check anthem? And take their hats off?
I think it's 50-50. Like,
here's
I think
what
some
I,
do.
Here's what I never
I
understood.
I have.
So here's
I have.
Here's what I never understood. When I've been in the concourses at football or baseball games while the anthem's being performed, people are still just eating their hot dogs. Like, no one's stopping what they're
I've
doing.
I've seen both. I've seen the hat off and hand over heart, and there might still be some munching going on.
No, I have seen people just completely ignoring it. Anyway, Donnie, did I not predict exactly what was going to happen was going to happen? I said he's
you
not...
Did.
He's not going to have seen this post by her. He didn't even
I'm
let,
sorry. I'm going to throw
let,
this.
He I, did not even let me I, get a word
I'm
in
sorry.
So I could ward him
I know,
off for this.
I know alcoholism is a disease, and I hope she gets, I hope she sorts her life out. That's not going to stop me from making fun of it.
Yeah, I'm actually, unfortunately, Malzie on Pony's side here.
Just because she's drunk
care.
Doesn't mean I can't joke about it. If Roseanne Barr was drunk and acted like an a-hole, we can't joke about that anymore. If Carl Lewis was bombed when he sang the anthem, we're not allowed to make fun of it anymore.
I feel a little worse making fun of it now.
I don't. Okay. I hope she gets help, but that was by far.
Thank you. It's great.
The
you know,
worst
no,
anthem
here's
I've ever
your
heard
take.
In my
I
life.
Hope she gets help, but that was great content.
It did nothing but justify my longstanding belief that the accolade of Grammy nominated is just total BS nonsense.
Well,
think about
well
how
hold
many
on
times-
though. But if she, but Chris is telling you that maybe when she's sober, she sounds great.
Here's what we need to do.
Oh, I'm sure it's like Whitney Houston.
Here's what we need to do. Jeez, dude. Here's what we need to do. Her name is Ingrid Andress.
I think Elvis Andress would have sung a better national anthem last night.
A-N-D-R-E-S-S. You need to come back with an Ingrid Andress song from one of her albums,
you know,
and we
what,
will judge.
Though?
We will judge her singing.
I will say about like the sobriety thing. So Justin Fabus, who's a fan of the show, who is a country recording artist from here in Pittsburgh, I always try to egg him on like I did Harry Callis to drink before...
Performing?
The celebrity softball game.
Okay.
And he refuses to even have a single beer.
Why?
Well, before he performs.
Oh, because
before
he's
he goes
the
out
anthem.
There and sings, yeah.
Well, yeah, because he's probably, his voice is his moneymaker, finely tuned instrument. Would you go out and play drunk in high school baseball? Bad question.
We had lemon, lime, Gatorade, and vodka.
No,
in the
that's why. Yeah,
bullpen.
Yeah, I wanted.
But
to
then
say
I watch Luke Combs. No offense, Donnie. I know he's one of your guys. He's out there in between every song, cracks open a beer, chugs it, and then it's when it rains.
Well,
it
some
pours.
Of those, yeah, some of those people can do it. Like my favorite band's Queens of the Stone Age. Their frontman, I think, has probably gone to rehab multiple times. Maybe not. He performs hammered all the time, it sounds like.
And how about Snoop? Do you think he's ever performed sober one day in his life?
But
he's stoned out of his gourd time he takes the stage.
But I would feel like it's much easier to do your performance stoned than drunk.
That was not drunk then. That crossed the Rubicon to able to stand.
Well, she looked like she looked like Callis after he was taking Jack Daniels to the face.
Let's do this Aiyuk thing. I did text Mike Garofolo, and I even played the Aditi card because they worked with each other for many years to try to get him on to talk about this. He has not gotten back to me. I don't think it's necessary anymore, though, because there's been a lot more reporting on this. Schefter, in the last few minutes, I heard Joe and Paul mention this at the end of the show. Schefter is saying that teams, and I would guess including the Steelers, have already reached out to the 49ers and been told they're not trading Aiyuk right now, even though he did formally request a trade. Josina Anderson said the Patriots are one of these teams, too. They've been told it's not happening right now. Again, right
Spotrac
now.
Spotrac tweeted this.
Go ahead.
Brandon Ayuk on a $14.1 million salary is more valuable to the 24 Niners than draft pick compensation. It's a tough situation for the player, but it was part of their plan.
Yeah, but a lot can happen here. So training camp starts next Tuesday for San Francisco. We'll see if he shows up or not. You can say, well, it's the middle of July. It's not the end of the world if he doesn't. How long does it go? Will he carry it into the season? Will he do a thing where he shows up as late as possible just to get the extra year accrued so he can get to free agency so the year counts? That's probably on the table. I would think that's at least something that they've discussed. He wants the money. He wants to get paid like Jalen Waddle and Amon-Ra St. Brown in that category, maybe even closer to Jefferson and the money he got. And apparently the 49ers are unwilling to do that. The thing I've heard about the Steelers in this is one of the things that they are supposedly willing to do for Ayuk. They are willing to give him around $120 million. The way it works, though, is they would rip up his contract for this year, basically, and they would make it $120. He'd get the money starting right now.
Replaces the year.
Yes.
Instead of what they love to do with their own deals, where they always say it actually, they always want the number to be lower when they sign a guy to an extension internally.
So he'd get a $10 million a year raise and it would start, he'd get a $10 million raise right now. He'd go from $14 million, I think it's to $24 million right away.
4 years, 120?
Yeah.
Well, that averages out to
So it would be like 5 years, 120.
Okay.
And he gets a $10 million a year. He gets the raise right now. That's what I heard. Maybe that's still not enough. I don't know. I mean, I don't think they're allowed.
5 and 120 is considerably less than 4 and 120.
Right, but he'd get it right now. He'd get it right this second. He'd get a big signing bonus and he'd get the big raise for this year.
I got it. I understand. I still wouldn't do it.
You wouldn't do it.
No, I wouldn't do it. Just, I still don't think there is definitive proof that you have a passing offense here that is one Brandon Ayuk away from being phenomenal. And
but
you
why
don't have an offensive coordinator that has shown he can build an offense around two high-level wide receivers.
But why would you let either one of those two things stand in the way of getting a really good player?
Because how useful is he to you if it ends up that both of the quarterbacks you've brought in just don't end up panning out? And I understand that Justin Fields did good work, very good work, with specifically DJ Moore, but there's a reason he's not
okay,
in Chicago.
Okay, so that
gets
back
anymore.
To the draft pick that you give up. If it's a first-round pick, well, then it makes it hard to go out and draft the replacement for Wilson or Fields next year. But if you do a sign and trade with the 49ers for Ayuk and you give up, say, a second round pick and something else, then now you've got two stud receivers and you draft a quarterback in next year's first round.
Worst first round of quarterbacks since maybe
sure.
even Kenny
I mean,
Pickett's
right
year.
Now it looks like that. It could change.
I know, but people were saying that about Pickett's draft year before it even got there, and then it ended up being every bit
so,
as bad as
so
people
So then
thought.
Just to make sure I hear, so just to make sure I follow this, if Fields or Wilson had a good year and proved to you that they had the quarterback thing figured out, you would be fine with bringing Ayuk in next year?
No, I mean, I think if I felt better about Wilson or Fields right now, like that Ayuk was the thing that was going to take this offense, and Arthur Smith designing an offense that's more pass heavy, when they've everything they've done is telegraphed, actually, we want to run the ball a ton and involve our tight end more that we drafted in the second round.
But
if I thought any of those factors were different, I'd be more on board with it, but I don't think they're different. Like, I think Wilson's going to be good enough to hold on to the job, but I don't think that means he's going to be a top 10 quarterback. He's probably going to be right around league average.
But what I don't understand about that is then, so the only teams that should be interested in Ayuk are teams with top 10 quarterbacks, so the Commanders shouldn't want him?
No, if I were the Commanders and I had a rookie wide receiver or rookie quarterback and I wanted to surround him with everything possible because that rookie quarterback was going to be on a rookie scale deal for more than just 1 year, which is really the Russell Wilson situation if he's good. It's only going to be 1 year where you get a deal. I'd be much more willing to do it. If I were the Patriots where Drake May is going to be on a rookie deal for this many years, yeah, I'd want to do that.
What
the
if
Steelers
you,
are in
hold
a
on a
different
second, though.
Boat.
What if you determine that you think Ayuk is better than Pickens and you want to give Ayuk the money and you don't want to give Pickens it long term? So it's not like you're locking
that, well,
up
that's
both
more
receivers.
Interesting. That's more interesting.
So why isn't that out of the question?
I don't think it is out of the question. But do you think the Steelers generally like their own people more than they like other people's draft picks?
Usually, but they just traded Deontay Johnson for somebody's second
does
rate
Mike
corner.
Does what Mike Tomlin has said about Pickens throughout his career so far strike you as Mike Tomlin wanting to sign off on being done with George Pickens after 4 years? He looks at George Pickens as like this long-term project.
Fair
I
enough,
think.
But he made excuses up and down for Deontay Johnson, and then they unloaded him again, I'll say, for a second-rate
that
corner.
That was also a guy who had already gotten paid once here, and they weren't going to pay him again.
True.
Pickens hasn't gotten that. I think Mike Tomlin wants to see George Pickens become one of the best receivers in the NFL and be like this model citizen on the field, because he's never gotten in trouble off it, because Mike Tomlin just likes the idea.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This season, Instacart has your back to school. As in, they've got your back to school lunch favorites like snack packs and fresh fruit. And they've got your back to school supplies like backpacks, binders, and pencils. And they've got your back when your kid casually tells you they have a huge school project due tomorrow. Let's face it, we were all that kid. So first, call your parents to say, I'm sorry. And then download the Instacart app to get delivery in as fast as 30 minutes all school year long. Get a $0 delivery fee for your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Deal.
I can't wait to show you where I grew up.
Is this Ingrid? This is sober Ingrid.
I don't know, Donnie. She's got a nice voice. It's pretty easy to believe she was just blasted.
Didn't show it last night.
Yeah, because she was three sheets to the wind. Second most famous person named Andrus, I think, who's ever existed. Ursula being number one. You know who Ursula Andrus is?
How about Elvis Andrus, Chris?
No, A-N-D-R-E-S-S.
It's pronounced the same way.
Two different last names, though. They're not related. One is a guy named Elvis, A-N-D-R-U-S. Ursula Andrus, first Bond girl, Donnie, Dr. No. Oh, yeah.
All right. We have tickets to see Def Leppard and Journey. You'd have to talk about Brandon Ayuk. I don't know if people want to do that or not. 412-928-9370. We do have Paul Skeens to get into. Obviously, this is a huge night for the Pirates and for Skeens and his chance to announce his presence with authority once again against some of the top hitters in baseball, although it's going to take a miracle for us to see him face Aaron Judge. That's going to mean Paul Skeens. Although Paul Skeens has had issues with leadoff hitters.
That is the one thing that has been
a hiccup or bugaboo for him with back-to-back games where he gave up homers to leadoff men.
What if Stephen Kwan takes him deep and then he strikes out the next three? What do we call that, a success or a failure?
Well, that's like Carl Hubbell in the 1934 All-Star game, which everybody knows about. The Carl Hubbell.
Cook was there.
The Carl Hubbell story. You know the Hubbell?
I know that he struck out a bunch of guys in a row.
The first two guys reached, and then he struck out Gehrig.
Ruth Fox or something.
Fox. Simmons. Cronin.
Al Simmons?
Yeah.
And
Richard, actually. He was sweating to the oldies in that lineup.
R.I.P. Richard Simmons.
Struck out five in a row.
I did know Hubbell had like one of those Pedro type of runs or Brad Penny type of runs. I've come around. I was trying to do some Stephen Kwan defending here, but come on. Move Henderson, who's probably the guy you could get away with moving out of that group, or move Kwan, whatever. And just make sure it's Juan Soto and especially Judge. People want to see 6'6", 240 throwing to 6'7", 280.
Le'Veon Bell tweeting that he thinks the Steelers will be acquiring
Ayuk. I have boy who cried wolf fatigue with Ayuk. I honestly do.
Even when he requests a trade, yes, you still think, yes, no way it happens.
Well, because like the guy who does cap stuff for a living, the Jannetty guy from SpotTrack, thinks that the Niners are just treating this like T. Higgins.
Well,
like
we brought up Jannetty yesterday, and you thought that his proposed contract for Paul Skeens was BS.
Stunning, but that he has a methodology about it, so maybe I was understanding that maybe I was in the wrong there.
So now
I was
just
not thinking
now
about
Jannetty
it.
Now is just gospel here, apparently?
He's not gospel, but he makes a pretty clarifying point here on why the Niners might just be happy to stick around with this
Benjamin
guy
Solak
year.
Tweet, his father listens to our show all the time.
Hello, Benjamin's father.
He's from The Ringer. Likely result for Ayuk, Steelers or Commanders.
So now Benjamin Solak, because his father listens every day and because he's very well read.
149,000 followers on Twitter, Malzi.
Oh, suddenly. Well, you have 100,000 now, don't
you? No, I
don't.
No, I'm not anywhere close to the Solak zone.
You're at about 100,000, I think.
I got a long way to go to catch
98.8, Donnie.
That's very far away from Solak. Here is Russ in Banksville. Hello, Russ.
Hey, guys.
Hi.
I think bringing Ayuk into this wide receiver room is just going to be completely toxic. I don't see a relationship between him and George Pickens. Pickens wants wide receiver number one designation, and Ayuk will just take that away from him. I think that'll just create a real problem in that wide receiver room. And despite, I like the point you made about the quarterback. I think he's a better fit for the Commanders, hands down.
So wait a minute now. Because of George Pickens' feelings, we can't bring in good wide receivers until he's gone or gets over that?
I'm not saying you can't, but I'm saying the end result is a toxic situation.
Well, what's that say about George Pickens then? So as long as we have him, we have to, like, we can't ever have another good top wide receiver?
It says what it says about Pickens. It's not a surprise to anybody, the way he acts.
What do you mean by that?
I mean, he's already proven that you know, with his on-field and his antics.
Well, there's no off-field antics. The on-field antics.
His on-field antics. He's going to be a crybaby about it no matter what.
I mean, he seemed to get mad last year mostly because the quarterbacks throwing to him for the majority of the season sucked.
I mean, Russ, he played at Georgia where he was surrounded by NFL players and came back off a torn ACL to try to help them win a national championship. Let's not make him out to be, the worst, most cancer-ridden, malignant player of all time.
I'm not saying he's that, but, I mean, it's
you're
no
saying
stretch
they,
of the imagination.
You're saying they can't acquire another good wide receiver because he's going to basically blow up, is what you're saying.
I'm saying he's going to act out. He absolutely will.
Based on what evidence?
His past behavior.
Like what?
Just his on-field antics. You know, him throwing his helmet and getting into...
Yeah, I know. Okay, you could have brought up the fact
he didn't block for Jalen Warren.
He unfollowed the Steelers on Instagram or whatever. I get that.
Well, no, that's off-field.
Right.
He said on-field antics, which I think would be limited to what? No effort on the Warren play.
So is Russ saying, let's say by some miracle, Malik Nabers was still on the board when the Steelers were on the clock. He would not have picked him? He would not have taken a top flight, a guy that broke all of Jamar Chase's records at LSU because an Odell Beckham Jr.'s records
of that? I'm pretty sure if George Pickens was a teammate of Brandon Ayuk, and Ayuk being here resulted in more single coverage for George Pickens with a quarterback in Russell Wilson who wants to chuck the ball deep every chance he gets. I would think at the end of the day, if George Pickens has, say, 75 catches for 1,350 yards and 10 touchdowns, he'll be fine with the fact that Brandon Ayuk's here and might have technically the wide receiver one designation.
Tony is next. Hello, Tony.
Yes, hello, gentlemen. How are you today?
We're good, thanks.
Listen, I got a little issue with Chris's reasoning on why we should not acquire Ayuk because we're not good enough. And I understand what he was saying, but, I mean, it's simple. You get Ayuk, you're better. And as far as to saying there's not a quarterback on this team that hasn't proven himself that can get the ball to a wide receiver, then you need to do your research.
I was talking about last year with Pickens.
No, I'm not. I'm just talking about altogether. Brandon Ayuk on the Pittsburgh Steelers makes the Pittsburgh Steelers a better team. Therefore, you go and get him. You can't.
Do you have proof that Arthur Smith can run an offense where two wide receivers eat and get a lot of targets?
I don't care.
How's that not relevant, though? You don't care. Arthur Smith has never had two receivers ball out in the same year on the same team when he's been running their offense. That's a fact.
That doesn't mean it's not going to happen this year. Arthur Smith hasn't been around for 30 years doing this. I mean, let's give this guy a chance.
Do you think the Steelers want to be a heavy pass team and are building like they want to be a heavy passing team?
No, I don't. I think the Steelers want to be a well-rounded team, but you have to have players. And right now, you don't have a good receiving core, an unproven receiving core. You get Brandon Ayuk, makes you that. It makes you that. And I don't care if he comes in like the other caller. I don't know where this guy's coming from. We got to worry about the feelings of George Pickens. This is the whole problem with this. I've been around a while. Watched Steelers a long time. I hate to get into that. But some of these calls, I listen to you guys all the time.
Thank
some
you, Tony. Calls, all right, Tony, I'm going to put you on hold for your loyalty, and we'll
fired
give
up.
You the tickets to see
Def
Leppard and Journey.
I love caller-on-caller violence on this show, though. I like when callers call out other callers. That's how it should be. We need to have more battles like that.
But to his point about the wide receiver thing, so if Arthur Smith had Marvin Harrison and Reggie Wayne, he wouldn't have been able to make that work because he just gives the ball to a running back.
I don't know. Does he have Peyton Manning throwing them the ball?
Well, Russell Wilson has made it work with top wide receivers before. Look
Let's
at his time
in Seattle.
Let's just
play devil's advocate, though, and I think Russ will be good enough here to keep the job the whole season.
Right, so why not make him even better,
he's
Chris?
He's here for veteran minimum. Why? Because one of the big offensive guru coaches in the league
Fair
doesn't
enough.
Want him.
I understand that, but why was Baker Mayfield successful in Tampa Bay? I think a lot of it had to do with the fact that he had Godwin and Evans, that he had good receivers to throw the ball to.
He set the rookie touchdown record when he was with the Browns and didn't have Godwin and Evans.
Well, and Russell Wilson won Super Bowls before he got won a Super Bowl before he got here. So it's not like we're working with a guy that has no skill or no talent whatsoever.
I understand that. I have more of an Arthur Smith hang-up probably than anything, and I think at 35 years old Wilson is right now?
Yes,
36. I do think it's reasonable to wonder, even if you have optimism about Wilson, just how good he can actually be in a best-case scenario at this point.
Okay, let's say, though, that you could get CeeDee Lamb. Would your argument be, well, we can't do that because that's too many mouths
CeeDee
to feed
Lamb's
a wide receiver?
I think CeeDee Lamb's a better player than Brandon
Ayuk. So, again, I think your issue is Ayuk, not
Smith. I don't think Ayuk is as good
as he wants
to get paid.
That's your point, I think.
Well, yeah, it's been my point for a while, but I try to make different points because if I kept saying Brandon Ayuk isn't as good as people think he is, it would get old after a while.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. That's where we find Baseball Insider, Pirates Insider from the Post-Gazette, Noah Hyles. Derek Shelton on with the Midday Guys was asked point blank by Starkey, what does this team need? And Shelton did not say that they're good. He said, we'd like to add a bat. And then went into reasons why.
And he's a hitting guy.
Yep. Noah, are we closer to that? Where are we at with this trade stuff 2 weeks away from the deadline?
Yeah, I think we're a little closer. I'm not exactly sure as to how close just yet. I think
what happened with Taylor Ward? Zeiss said that was pretty much a done deal. Did he get bad info? What was the Taylor Ward saga?
I don't know exactly what Zeiss reported first off. I was touring the National Bobblehead Museum when he was talking about that on the radio. But the conversations that I've had with Paul and with my sources said that they inquired about Taylor Ward, but he's one of many players that they've reached out about, and there's interest there.
Can you name some more?
I'll hold off on now. We do know a couple of more names, but I don't want to circulate anybody because based off of what I've heard, they're not necessarily close to honing in on one specific person right now. I think their strategy was leading up to the draft to just kind of send out a whole bunch of feelers to teams throughout the league, see what everyone else is doing. And once this draft concludes here in a couple of hours, that's when I think the stove's going to heat up and you're going to see teams, including the Pirates, get a little bit more aggressive.
What do you think their appetite is for actually parting with quality prospects? How far into that well do you think they're willing to go to get a guy to help right now?
I think the only guy 100% off limits this deadline is Bubba Chandler. Now, that being said, I don't expect, like, if they were to deal a Tamar Johnson or someone of that status, it would be a surprise to me, but I wouldn't completely rule it out based off of just some conversations I've had and everything. And it's not like they're actively looking to get rid of Tamar by any means, but I think that Bubba's the only guy that they absolutely don't want to give up right now. And everyone else, they're at least hearing what a Tamar Johnson or, excuse me, a Braxton Ashcraft could generate as far as return goes. Now, what will they actually do? I don't know. I don't think they will part way with any of their top 3, 4, 5 guys, but I don't think they're completely against moving a big guy if it gets you someone that has multiple years of control.
There was a story from another reporter today about how he still thinks it's possible that the Pirates could make trades and buy and at the same time get rid of pitchers like Aroldis Chapman and Martin Perez because they're on one-year deals and the amount of money they're making. Can you still see that? If they're in a wild card spot 10 days from now, do you think trading Aroldis Chapman is still a possibility, Noah?
Yeah. I mean, it depends on what that wild card spot looks like. I mean, if they're 3-4 games back and back under 500 again.
No, I'm saying they're like in a playoff spot. Like if the playoffs started the day of that trade,
yeah,
they would make it. They would be in.
Yeah, no, then they would not do that. From what we've heard in conversations, it seems like they would like to keep Chapman, but they're not opposed to getting rid of him. But I think that that would be the ideal outcome here, is for Chapman to still be a Pirate by the end of the month. But, you know, if their standing changes and they fall a little bit further out of this, I think that he would be an attractive trade chip for other teams further into the mix. But based off of how things are right now, and if we're going off of the scenario you just laid out, Pony, where they're even better and actually in a playoff spot, then no, I don't see them trading Chapman. They might sell off a guy like Martin Perez, simply because you have other guys healthy right now with Marco Gonzalez back and with Quinn Priester back. And I don't think Bailey falters that far away either. Perez might be someone they try to sell off, but no, I don't think they would be giving away anyone significant to this team if they continue to push forward.
If they continue to push forward, how do you think, if at all, they're going to try to finagle Paul Skeens' workload to make sure he's available to them all the way through the season and what could lie beyond?
Yeah, I think about this pretty much every day. I in the back part of this notepad I have here, I mapped out the projected starters.
Can you show us that again? A nice prop for those of us that are watching on video.
Yes, just give
us the notepad.
Actually, let me pull up the page. I was just showing my friend this. Right here, I have every projected start for every remaining game of the season, going off of timetables of when I think Falter and Jones will be back. And I know that makes me seem like a total nerd. But basically why I did this the other day was I wanted to see how many starts Skeens could get through if he averaged 7 innings a start to get through the season. And I think he can go, I think maybe like 7 or 8. I don't have the number right in front of me. That's actually on another notebook. But I think basically by the way this is trending, I think he might have to only miss one start for the remainder of the year if you want to get him to around 150 innings, which I think would be more of their target. I don't know what that would mean for the postseason, but I don't think Skeens is going to be that big of a challenge here, guys, just because you look, they're going to have some off days. They can reorganize the rotation to start him later. Coming out of the All-Star break, and you have guys like, I mean, they could go with a 6-man rotation.
Noah, let me ask you this one about their rotation. If everyone's healthy, is Luis Ortiz one of their 5 best starters in your opinion?
Oh, absolutely. I think just based off of, and this is not a slight at the guy that I'm going to say here, but just based off of what's happened in the last month or so, I think Ortiz should be probably their number 4 starter behind Keller, Skeens, and Jones with everyone healthy. And that's no slight at Bailey Falter. I just look at Falter. He's already exceeded his big league innings limit, and he has an arm injury. So I think, and that's not saying Falter should completely stop starting games, but I think that Falter and Ortiz could just switch roles for this second half, where Falter could go into a long inning reliever situation, which is something he's familiar with and he's done for a playoff team before, and you could give him spot starts to conserve his health. But I think Ortiz, is throwing the ball just as well as anyone not named Mitch Keller or Paul Skeens right now on this team. He should absolutely be a part of this starting rotation for the second half.
Noah Hyles, Paul Skeens tonight, and then the Pirates and Phillies Friday at PNC Park. Thanks, Noah.
Absolutely, guys.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.